This episode is brought to you by Fetch. Fetch is a kennel alternative right here in Denver, not a traditional doggy daycare or boarding school. They offer one-on-one private pet care for all kinds of pets, both furry and non-furry. And their employees are experienced, insured, bonded, and background checked, so you can rest easy knowing your pet is in good hands. Basically, they know pets. I used to watch a Burmese mountain dog named Sven, who was just like walking a polar bear. It was insane. Fetch offers pet sitting, dog walking, pet taxi, medication administration, and more. And he hated going on walks. I could like walk him around the block and then he was like, he just liked to lay in the bathtub. So if you're looking for high quality pet care you can trust, check out Fetch at northdenver.fetchpetcare.com. That's northdenver.fetchpetcare.com.
Today on CityCast Denver, one of Denver's biggest tourism draws is laying off dozens of workers. So me and Bree and a special guest are talking about Meow Wolf, how they're doing after 3 years in Denver. Plus, it's 420 tomorrow, and we've got a mile-high take on the Dream Blunt Rotation and our wins and fails of the week. Also, heads up, this episode is explicit. Today is Friday, April 19th. I'm Paul Caroli, and here's what Denver's talking about. Welcome back to CityCast Denver, the city with playoff fever.
But is that, do you feel like we have it, Paul? The weather's not saying we have playoff fever.
No, it was snowing earlier, which was weird.
Yeah. Plus the Avalanche have not been good going into the playoffs.
Oh boy.
Pulled the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, they haven't?
No, it's not been great.
Smoked on like 7-0 over the weekend.
And yeah.
Nuggets have been looking good.
Yeah. The Nuggets had a bad game against the Spurs, which is annoying to me because I have a rivalry with someone. But other than that, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah. And then, everybody hates the Lakers. So everyone's rooting for the Nuggets.
I can't wait.
What's happening with that this week? Something was happening with the Lakers and the Nuggets again.
Saturday.
Yeah. So
it's the first game of the playoffs.
Exactly. The Lakers
is
won.
That the matchup?
Yeah. They won the play-in. And so now they play the Lakers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
LeBron
fun.
Is so boring to watch, but I like can't wait to watch. I hope the Nuggets smoke them.
That'd be great. That'd be great if the Lakers beat the Nuggets. This is a win-win for me.
Yeah.
You know what
Suns
I mean? So no matter.
Stop.
I don't like this.
Stop.
We're going to do the show now.
All right.
It's Friday. We're here in the 5280 Magazine studio. Bree, of course, is here.
Good morning.
Hey, Bree.
Hi.
And we have a great guest today. You heard his voice. He's one of our favorite regulars. Hilarious stand-up. He's our man inside Casa Bonita. And a recipient of the Mayor's Award for Excellence in the Arts and Culture.
Yeah, hey. Absolutely. Can I also be the Red Chili correspondent? And that way, I think that's funny to have one of each.
I would need you to have to talk to Justin.
Yeah, we'll talk to her.
We don't want to. Anyway. Anyway, Joshua Emerson is here. Hey, Joshua.
Hey, good morning. Yatta Ebene, everybody.
good morning.
Joshua, we're working on a secret project together.
Yeah.
We're doing something very big tomorrow. I don't want to reveal it, but I want listeners to get a little hyped about this.
That's right. We're putting calories into this, okay? I'm losing weight, how much I'm stressed about this secret project, all right?
We're going on a journey.
I know. I was like, this secret project entails the three of us to be in a car for like 7 hours.
And you're not excited. I'm not saying.
Because we have to leave it in Paul time. We have to leave it a Paul hour of like 6 a.m., Joshua.
Just stay up. You know what I mean? Just go.
I'll make it. But yes. The outcome of it
I did.
Is
that
for
happened
you,
to me
listeners.
Once in college, by the way. What? It was like a spring break thing. I was with some friends, and one night they stayed up so late that I woke up and hung out with them a little bit. Like they were still partying, and I was ready for the next day.
That's fun.
Yeah,
you got the jump on them.
That's
you know
me.
What I mean? That's
I
right.
Like, so Grime you were
mentality.
A square in college. Okay.
Always been this way.
Squares on his shirt, squares in his head. All right. That's.
Well, we'll have an outcome of this project we're working on for
yes.
all of you, our dear listeners, in a couple weeks.
I literally cannot wait to share it.
I'm so
excited about it. It's been so much fun.
Stay tuned.
But let's get into our top story this week. Trouble in the Multiverse. The immersive art and entertainment company Meow Wolf announced Wednesday they'll be laying off 165 people, not all, but including at Denver's Convergence Station, where workers a couple of years ago unionized. But we've been following this story since they opened, and long before that, actually, Bree, in your case.
Yeah, I mean, I've been following the evolution of Meow Wolf since, the last 12 years, I think.
Since before they even called it Meow Wolf.
Well, yeah, I mean, I knew the Meow Wolf Collective before it became this giant corporation thing. they'd done a lot of installation style projects prior to this that you could like perform in as a band and stuff if you were on tour. So, yeah. So I've been, they're integral to our art scene here far beyond and before this, the place you can go today known as Convergence Station existed. So it's a, I mean, I think it's a Denver story as much as it is a Meow Wolf story for sure.
So what's your takeaway from this chapter?
I mean, they expanded really fast, which I think all of us were like, whoa, that's cool. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know about the business side of things, but they took on a lot of different things. They just opened another Meow Wolf in Grapevine, Texas.
The Real Unreal? Is that what it's called?
Outside of Houston, right? Yeah.
Well, they're opening one in Houston as well.
Oh, really? I didn't know it was just a dang.
So that'll be interesting. I think I've been to all of the ones that are open so far. I'm curious to see what these are like. But
same.
I don't know. Is this a sign of things to come for the art world? Is this a sign of things to come for the economy? There's a lot of questions here.
Joshua, help me understand this quote from this internal email Meow Wolf sent around announcing the layoffs. This was reported by our friend John Wenzel in the Denver Post. The quote is, expansion is still an important part of our business strategy, and these changes will enable us to continue to grow in a way that is smart and sustainable.
Yeah. So what I hear about that is they just want to increase the revenue. Right now, they've done this rapid expansion. And when you're growing that quick, you just need to make sure that you can grow the revenue as fast as possible. And this move, they say that it's trying to cut expenses by 10% in terms of their overhead. And it really feels like they are punishing the working staff to try to maintain the expansion. And part of it is like all these people are eligible to be rehired. And so like in their mind, there's like, we're gonna let them go now and then try to get to a place where we can make this more stable after we done the growing and try to make it more stable on that end. But I mean, yeah, the workers are the ones that suffer.
And they don't they're not like suspended in time waiting for the job to come back.
They got rent, they got food, you know?
Well, and I wonder about the projections of this because when the prior to, so I followed closely the opening of the first one in Santa Fe, obviously. And prior to that opening, their projections, they made their ticket sales projections within the first 3 months. They made the whole year that they had planned on. Crazy. So it exploded when it first started. And I wonder if that was just propelling something that they anticipated to be bigger on a bigger scale, and it just didn't end up being that way?
Yeah, there's another quote by the CEO. It's talking about how over the past 3 years, we've developed a better understanding of our guests and what we need to support our expeditions to make the most of the growth opportunities ahead. So during this three-year period, it was all just sort of throwing stuff at the wall.
Totally.
Yeah, and so that's pretty common with these type of big swings in immersive spaces. Disney's probably like the best example of how to do this well corporately. And even when they opened up Avengers, there's a lot of talk about how they changed it about a year in because they didn't know what worked best until they tried it out and then took notes and then reported back. So it's pretty common with these corporate like
big,
how they make
bigger
decisions.
Immersive. Yeah.
That reminds me how they changed or they updated the Santa Fe one a few years back and they added a lot more content. They got artists back in to like beef it up.
Yeah.
And it kind of made me think, I don't know, here's my theory about what's going on. See what you two think about this. But I think that Meow Wolf, the Denver Meow Wolf was kind of playing to two different audiences. Oh. I feel like they're a really big tourist draw for out-of-towners,
for sure.
Which like the city of Denver has embraced and loved. And I mean, I've taken out-of-towners there. It's a fun thing to do while you're in Denver.
It's impressive.
Yeah. It's a very cool, special thing.
It's an impressive thing that we have that nobody else really has.
But for those of us who live here, and that's the other audience, I think it kind of gets a little bit stale.
Well, I think
like you go back three times, you've seen it.
Yeah. And the price point is not super friendly to locals going regularly. It's not like with like the Denver Museum of Nature and Science or like the zoo where they have a membership. They do, but it still feels too expensive to me, to be honest with you, to make it worth it.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
Well, but I want to say to that point, Paul, when we, a couple of weeks ago, I was with some of our colleagues touring Miawa for a potential other project we were working on. Yeah, and
a different secret operation.
A different secret operation. And they told us that there are new installations on the horizon. So they have so they have a planned rollout, I think, of adding to it. There are, because that's the thing about, if you've been to Convergence Station, there are probably I don't know, a dozen doors or something that don't go into anything yet that we mm-hmm. just don't know about.
Sure.
So I think that they built that, obviously, with that in mind to expand it and change it. As to how that will play out for locals wanting to be re-enticed to go there, I don't know. That's a good question.
That is so exciting because that's all I want from them. Yeah. I love the content. I love everything about it, but I want more.
But what's weird to me, Paul, though, is like I don't feel that same way about Casa Bonita.
Yeah, well, because Casa Bonita has been able to take the best nostalgia.
True. Moving, there's that.
You know what I mean? And the big thing with Casa Bonita is that it does have that longevity where people remember, like on field trips, going back to Casa Bonita. And so you're able to take that nostalgia for the older people. And then we make a really big point to try to connect with kids, make those memories with kids. And so it's becoming multi-generational in terms of building these nostalgia and these magic moments so that you can relive the experiences that you felt when you first went to Casa Bonita, even though it smelled and it had bad food. That was
whatever. Loved it. Loved every minute.
But you want to see the cliff divers every time because that's why you're there. And Meow Wolf, you maybe. Seeing the giant robots doesn't give you the same kind of dopamine burst.
And I will tell you, it's frustrating because I've been to the Santa Fe one a bunch of times and it was so fun the first time I went.
Love it.
And it's continued to get worse and worse as an experience. Just to be, this is all anecdotal. But for me, it became more expensive and then it was more busy, I guess. And that really took away from it for me.
Interesting.
Also, I think the Santa Fe one to me shines more because the venue is part of the immersion.
Yeah.
And I think here I understand smartly they designed a separate venue so they could operate it and operate the exhibition separately. But that isn't as enticing to me to go see a show there, to be honest with you. It's cool. You can go in and they projection map the whole room. And
the
Perplexiplex. Yeah, it's a beautiful space.
Yeah.
But the one in Santa Fe was so memorable to me, and I had such a great experience seeing a show there. And I also love the immersive aspect of Omega Mart in Las Vegas because it has a very specific – you're in a store.
Yeah.
And that alternate reality is so clear, and that's what I love the most about that one. And I think sometimes Convergence Station suffers a little bit from there's so much. There's so much.
It could use a bit of a stronger through line.
Yeah, I think so. The story's not as clear to me as the one in Santa Fe.
Right.
And I think it just has a lot, which is also a good thing to be explored. But
I mean, its potential is what it is because what they have is the people that know how to do the art. They have the connections. They can do the stories whenever they want to beef it up.
And the art itself is beautiful. But I also do wonder, I know half the artists that are in there. That makes it enticing to me to go in. I don't know if the general public has the same experience or if they're just like, it's cool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I like the best thing about Santa Fe is the way that they're connected and then the different installations. That's which I really missed out in Denver.
Well, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but we had this gentleman, Dave Thomas, a professor of fun, on to explain what makes Casa Bonita in particular fun in its design. And Santa Fe's Meow Wolf taps into something he talked about, which is you know that you're inside, but you're outside, but you're inside. You walk into that space, which is an old bowling alley, and you are suddenly outside in front of a house. And you feel that this disconnection with reality in a way that's really cool, which is what makes Casa Bonita work. And I think Convergence Station doesn't have that thing.
It could.
Yeah, for sure.
We have to do a couple of disclosures here. This is the transparency portion of the program because, Joshua, you said we a minute ago when you were referring to Casa Bonita.
Because you're an employer. You're an employee.
You're a professional in the immersive art industry.
Yeah, that's true. And there's a little bit of crossover between the immersive actors. They do it a little bit differently at Meow Wolf where the immersive actors sort of get a lot of control over what they're doing. And so
there's not as much of a script.
Exactly. And so that they're given a little bit more freedom. But I mean, I have heard just through the grapevine that that these layoffs, the staff knew that they were coming.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because this was a leaked internal email. So obviously people there on staff aren't happy about this. I keep thinking back when Meow Wolf opened up here in Denver on the stage. There was two rows of people and they felt very separated. There was the creatives and then there was the business people.
Yeah.
And the corporate offices are in LA and New York, which means that they're going after the biggest bucks. They think they're a nationwide brand. And these decisions are coming out of the place that are separated from the art. They're fully like...
Their CEO used to be with Viacom.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
Let me say something about what you just said. You said it was not a surprise to the employees that this was coming. I think that's a really good thing. I think that kind of transparency and having employees having notice about this kind of thing coming is great, because then they have more power to go and explore some of the other opportunities in Denver's burgeoning immersive art industry, which is genuinely a strength for us.
Yeah.
Which is something unique to us, and also is huge. Meow Wolf is integral to that being a reason we have this here in Denver. I mean, it started with Casa Bonita essentially, but that extension of like hiring artists here locally is something Meow Wolf is really good at. But also, Paul, I would say there's a little bit of conflicting messaging happening here. Like, we want to expand. We just don't need 165 of you to do it. Uh-huh. And that, to me, would leave a really bad taste in my mouth as an employee.
I should.
Well, also, I have to disclose one other thing. Meow Wolf is an occasional sponsor on the show. That doesn't have anything to do with the way we just talked about it, as I think will be clear from the content of the conversation.
Well, and you can also go back and hear some. We did a whole show on Meow Wolf before it opened, mm-hmm. So we've been following this story for a long time.
Yeah, we'll put some links in the show notes to all of our coverage of like when the workers unionized, Bree, your personal connection to the nightclub on Q Street, which was just a very memorable episode. But honestly, listeners, I want to hear from you. Meow Wolf it's about 3 years old now. Mm. This is now, we're past the hype. We've now settled into this new phase. And what does it feel like to you? How do you feel about Meow Wolf at 3? The Multiverse Hotline is open at 720-500-5418. Text us, leave us a voicemail at 720-500-5418. We want to hear what you think about Meow Wolf. But right now we're going to a break, and we're going to come back and do some fun 420 nonsense. All right, we're back. It's 420 tomorrow.
Yay!
I love that reaction. That's about how I feel about it. I'm not going to be celebrating, not any more than I normally would on a Saturday, I guess. Like, I'm not going to Civic Center. Are you all going to Civic Center for the concerts?
No.
Is there somebody I like there? Was the Gucci Mane guy?
Gucci Mane's there. Murs, a guy I like.
Is Wiz Khalifa?
No, he usually does do it, though. I don't know. We sound like a bunch of old people.
I love Gucci Mane.
I do too.
Do you?
Yeah. There was one album where he got out of prison. Bree and I were talking about this earlier this week, because we each have different
Gucci Mane. I'm a pre-prison.
Yeah. She likes
State
pre-prison.
Versus Roderick Davis album.
Post-prison. Man. Yeah. Huh? I think Mr. Davis was like, that was the one.
It's good stuff.
I don't have an opinion. It's just really funny that y'all do.
Well, that is not what we're doing on 420.
We're
going to be in our imaginary blunt rotation that we're going to create right now.
Explain the premise, Bree. What are we doing here?
Well, Paul, you and I like went back and forth about nightmare blunt rotation or dream blunt rotation. Like, mm-hmm. which one? Like, if you could create the circle that you're going to smoke weed with, should it be the dream one or the nightmare version? Yeah. Denver style.
Denverites, dead or alive.
Dead or alive. And I came up with both.
I actually did too.
But I don't know. Where do we want to start?
I can go first.
Okay.
All right. This
are
is
we
a
doing
nightmare.
Night, we're doing
this
nightmare.
This is nightmare.
Okay.
For
this
me.
Is who All would right. be in your circle. Okay.
All right. This is going to be something, but Jared Polis, Governor Jared Polis would be. But I think
too much of a square.
Well, I think his voice is kind of annoying, and I feel like that would get played up. And I feel like. Like when he gets high, I feel like he just will not stop talking.
He's an obsessive, is what he is.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that might be what it's like to do with me, because I also get that way, like go and fixate on something and like, yeah. Yeah.
Paul's the Jared Polis of his own nightmare conversation. Okay, who else?
I add Nathan McKinnon. I just think he's too much of a goody two shoes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like he would be so judgmental. Like he doesn't like fun. You know what I mean? Like
no, he's not touching that blunt, by the way.
Exactly. And he's gonna judge you for doing it. And just like, you're not living up to your potential, Joshua.
And you know what
I mean?
He's gonna be right.
He's an athlete, so he's maybe one of those optimization dudes where it's like the most optimal version of your body could not include weed.
Yeah, we talked about this in the show years ago, but he did a commercial for this Canadian chain coffee restaurant, Tim Hortons.
That's right.
Iconic. He did it with his best friend, Sidney Crosby, who's been like one of the best players in the league for like 20 years. They're both from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Halifax.
The Maritime Provinces.
Halifax.
I'll go on Canadian geography. Thanks for asking. No, but they did these Tim Hortons ads, and McKinnon McKinnon clearly got like really competitive because they were being like workers at a Tim Hortons. They were getting trained and Crosby was having fun with it. But McKinnon was like, we got to get these orders.
He'd also be your nightmare coworker at your fast food job.
100%. But yeah, he might win the Hart Trophy. So
Yeah, and then he can do whatever he wants. Exactly. Okay, who's your last in the circle?
Councilwoman Sandoval.
Really?
Yeah, just because
her family owns tamales by La Casita. She could at least bring the goods.
Which is great, but anybody that's that big of an advocate for single family only zoning, I could never get high with. All right. That's just a personal that's a big deal. One
Direct
issue.
Your complaints to Joshua's Instagram account.
I know. I was like, she seems like the home girl to me, but but that's a fair point. Legislatively, if she doesn't jive with what you're into,
right,
that could be a problem when you get super high and you want to talk about something like single family
get
zoning.
Heated, you know what I mean? Throwing tamales at each other. All right,
that's a good circle.
Shall I go?
Go for it.
I have two people in my nightmare blunt rotation.
Just two.
Two Johns. Yep. John Elway.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Probably high tolerance, lots of
braggadocious
before I was born.
Gonna make the blunt wet.
And again, also could bring us food from Elway's, but
that's true.
Oh, yeah, watch out, Paul. The pantyhose cover on that pop filter is trying to get
it
in your mouth.
It got in your mouth.
It did get in my mouth. It was
it's been flying around trying to get in your mouth. Okay, John Elway.
Elway's one, and then John Hickenlooper. Senator John Hickenlooper, former governor. I have interviewed him before.
You guys are hating on the squares.
I hope to talk to him again.
I drink a beer with Hickenlooper, but yeah.
That's my thing. I feel like he would only know the boring stuff about weed because he was governor during the rollout and was like not that into it.
Yeah.
So he probably knows a lot about the policy.
He'd be the Debbie Downer too.
Mm-hmm. And then also he famously doesn't remember faces. Which I feel like would make me paranoid.
I always find that to be...
What?
Because we did meet once.
Is this real?
Would he know me?
Is face blindness
Does he know me? Do I know him?
This is a made-up disease. It might not be.
That is a thing about our former governor, current junior senator.
Junior senator. So that's it? It's just you
that's
and two Johns?
That's my nightmare blood rotation.
Well, your problem right there is three white guys, Paul.
That's right, yeah.
All right, show me how it's done.
All right. Well, I wanted to start with the boomer who started grilling me the other day at the coffee shop about my David Bowie shirt.
Cool.
But he's probably miserable all on his own, and I don't want to share weed with him. I was waiting for him to pull the, like, which is your favorite David Bowie album so he could tell me his was Low, and I would go, oh, wow, you're so interesting. But that didn't happen. So my actual first pick is the guy that brought the gun to the Capitol and left it in the bathroom, Representative Don Wilson of Monument.
Call. Yeah.
Nothing sucks more than the surprise loaded gun after you've all gotten high. So I could just see that being the huge bummer because that's your paranoia sets in and you're like, how do I get out of here right now? Because the guy next to me has a gun that he left in the bathroom loaded.
Wow.
So
that's a great pick.
That was my pick.
He missed it. Missed it on that one.
He also probably doesn't smoke weed. He seems like an uncool guy.
Some conservatives, though, are like that. They're like hands off, like do whatever you want
in your
own home.
True. And
some people are.
Don't tread on me.
Yeah.
We talked to Don Corum the other day, and he is one of those types of conservatives, which I do find interesting.
That might actually be not bad. Talk to someone like that. Anyway, go on, Brie.
Okay.
Who else you got?
I'm going to go into history a little bit. I'm going to step back in time to the 60s through the 80s when there was a cop here named Buster Snyder.
Oof.
He's an old racist cop.
Buster.
There's a whole Lost Highways show on the Denver Police Department, and there's a whole section on Buster, which is really interesting. But where I've actually learned the most about how terrible Buster was is from Facebook. There'll be like a post in an old school, the old school Denver Facebook page, and it'll be like, got any Buster Snyder stories? And 500 people pile in.
Oh my God.
Buster relentlessly harassed me and my boyfriend for no reason. Buster beat me up. Buster wrote me a ticket. So Buster was known as the hottest pen in the West for the massive number of traffic tickets he could write in a single day. Like,
wow.
Notorious for like writing 150 traffic tickets over super minor things. But what he's really known for is harassing black and brown youth and queer people. There's like documentation of this man relentlessly harassing people for decades as a cop. And the only reason he lost his badge was he was accused of rape. And I know. Just like, and I was just like, who could be the absolute worst person from Denver history? It might be Buster Snyder.
You might have got him. You might have him right there.
So my
Sounds
last
like a POS.
One. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was something that I found interesting when I think it came up in our LGBTQ history episode from a couple of years ago. And I was just like, and then I started Googling him and I was like, oh my gosh, horrible. And then I was like, what man in Denver has mansplained music to me? And I just like, there were so many of them. I couldn't name just one. So I just decided to just make it a blanket statement is whichever the developer is responsible for the first fugly building of the last 15 or 20 years, I do want to meet that person, but I also don't. And yeah. I definitely don't want to smoke weed with them because real estate bros are maybe the worst.
Yeah. And they also don't smoke weed. They snort.
They're definitely not weed smokers. So I got a cop, I got a politician, and I got a real estate bro.
Yeah, those suck.
That's a nightmare.
That's terrible.
That's a nightmare right there. Should we do some fun ones?
Do you have any fun ones, Joshua?
Fun ones?
Yeah, dream blunt rotation.
Dream blunt rotation. Nikola Jokic. I mean, that's got to be because he's so funny already, and he's so talented. He's a
video game guy too.
Exactly.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Do we know what he plays?
I can't. I read a profile of him. I can't remember, but he plays. I don't remember if he plays with Luka or I think he plays with one of the other players within the NBA online.
Oh, that's hilarious. I bet it's like League of Legends. Not that this matters, you too.
I know.
He has horses and everything like that. Have you ever ridden a horse high? It is the most fun thing ever. Highly recommend.
Did you ride a horse high?
Huh?
Tell me about this time. You're talking about a specific personal experience.
Yeah.
When did you do this?
When I was 19. All right. Yeah. I just walked out of college. I went back to the res. All right. What else to do but
get high and ride a horse on the res?
I've never been in the proximity. Proximity of a horse I could ride, and also anyway, yeah.
Well, step your game up, Paul. All right.
Can I? I have a Nuggets player too. Actually, okay. Aaron Gordon, though.
Oh man, yeah, because he stays.
He's
he stays, baby.
Hot. He's cool.
Yeah.
He's a Virgo.
Went to University of Arizona.
Probably
that's where I flunked out of.
Probably likes good music. I know he has like a cool compound in Five Points where he hangs out. I just like he would be the guy that like you want to hang out in his house,
yeah.
kind of thing, because he's probably got the good snacks.
His house is dope, right?
I've heard it's dope.
Yeah.
So.
That's a good call.
Thank you. Do you have any sports players, Paul?
No athletes. I'll rattle off a few of mine. I was really enjoying this. Pam Grier, the blaxploitation actress from Denver.
She's so talented.
Dick Lamb, who led the campaign against the Olympics.
That's a funny name.
I was honored to talk to him a couple of years ago. Bowen Yang on Saturday Night Live right now.
He's from here?
Yeah, he's from Aurora.
Yeah, he's a sketch guy out of here.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, he would be super fun, though. Do you think he would just try to really perform it up? I feel like.
He'd be so funny.
Comedians are a double-edged sword with weed.
You think?
Yeah, it can be super fun, or you're like, oh god, now I'm at the show.
That's true. Yeah, some of the most anxious people in the world are comedians, and it is weird to be high with them when they're that anxious. But there's some people you get them just a little bit of high, and they just pop, 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 and you're just dead.
Yeah. So. Sam Talent's good for that too.
Sammy T, worldwide.
Good old Sam Talent.
Anyone else for our dream blunt rotation?
Well, I had Molly Brown on there
because that's a good one.
Or Margaret Brown. I guess we learned she never went by Molly Brown. I just love every photograph of her anywhere in proximity to a man. She just looks like she wants to kill them. She's just like, leave me alone. And I just imagine she had some amazing stories.
If people don't know Molly Brown, what's the TLDR?
Well, she survived the Titanic. She was a fairly wealthy woman here in Denver and... I don't want to like oversimplify her legacy, but
House of the Lion.
There was like a play about her.
Yeah, and the movie, and she survived the Titanic. You know, she's got really good stories.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about people that could tell good stories.
Yeah, Mayor Mikey J. I think would be fun, just because I know it's a weird take, but I feel like he's the type of person that went to Yale and smoked weed. You know what I mean? Like that. And I mean, I went to prep school. Like, I know a bunch of those guys. Like,
I don't know about the preppy weed vibe.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if it'd be great for you. I'd have a lot of fun with it, you know.
It's your Vampire Weekend playing in the background. I could totally see it.
Yeah, just bright eyes.
Yeah, just really in our feelings. Did you have any more, Paul?
Matt and Trey.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I mean,
they probably have good weed, too.
They're like the kings of stoner comedy.
And you could probably get into Casa Bonita after hours.
If I knew anyone that worked at Casa Bonita, that's what
if
I would
I
ask.
Knew
if
any...
I knew anyone.
Yeah, I'll tell you
maybe
something.
Maybe give me an after hours.
I'll tell you something off air about that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to off-air as fast as possible. We're going to go to another mid-roll right now and come back with wins and fails. All right, we're back for the final segment of the week. In fact, I would say, as I always do, the best way to end the week. Wins and fails. Not, as some have say, wins and sales.
Who said that?
Came up last week. Someone said, are you saying wins and sales?
Like,
no, I'm saying wins and fails.
And like sailboat sales?
Yeah.
Why would we do that?
I don't know. It would kind of be
funny. We're not a boating culture here. But
nah.
No, not really.
Yeah, canoeing, if anything, right? Yeah. Or kayaking. Yeah.
A little bit.
Something extreme sporty.
Anyway, wins and fails, a.k.a. Rocky Mountain highs and lows. We each brought a recent local something to talk about. We think is a fail and we think is a win. We'll do fails first, like we always do.
Sure.
And Bree.
Oh, well, good. Mine's a huge bummer, so let's just start there.
Sick,
great.
Sick dog.
The Colorado Senate failed to pass a proposed child sex abuse constitutional amendment that would have, if ultimately it would have to be approved by voters, but the measure would have allowed the legislature to remove the statute of limitations on cases of child sexual abuse from years ago, allowing victims to sue. And some Senate Republicans didn't want to do that for some weird reason. Weird. They said it was a constitutional issue that would have, quote, upended numerous constitutional and legally settled rights we all depend on. I just think that sucks. I think the process that folks go through when they have had this abuse happen to them, I think about Marilyn Vanderburgh, who we interviewed on the show many years ago, probably our first year. She was a survivor of sexual abuse at the hands of her father for her whole life. And she was in her 70s, I think, when I talked to her, and she was still grappling with it and dealing with it. And so I can't imagine not supporting people as adults who have survived something so horrific.
Survivors deserve justice.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
And I just thought, what a bummer. And also, what kind of vote do you want to be on that side of history? Ugh.
Yeah.
Yuck.
You can see the names who voted on it. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? So.
Name and shame.
That is one of those where I just don't – it doesn't immediately click for me why you would vote against that. What could be these constitutional reasons that you would want to maintain – I mean, maybe it's like – because it's the statute of limitations, right?
Right.
So if there was an alleged crime that happened decades ago that someone would be able to sue for a more – yeah, I don't
– I mean, I even think about like the sex abuse scandal within the Catholic Church and how many folks – didn't come forward until, I mean, because a lot of times you don't feel safe to even come forward about it until you're in a place in your life where you can.
Right.
And that might mean you're in your 50s or 60s or 70s. You know what I mean? And so it just sucks because everybody was a kid once, and that's such a foundational time for your experience in the world. And children look to adults to be safe and keep mm-hmm. them safe. And when adults don't keep them safe, it impacts you for the rest of your life. And I wish that more people cared about that. So,
yeah.
Well, anyone have a less bummer?
Yeah, I got one. My fail is my own personal fail. I left my cell phone in a lift last night, which was terrifying. I have so much stuff on my phone, and it's so easy to do. Like, I was just talking to the Lyft driver about comedy, and I was listening to YouTube, but he wanted to talk, and so I just sat on it. I forgot I was sitting on it, so I just went up and went out of the thing, and 20 minutes after he leaves, I'm like, oh no. And there's no good way. Like,
and what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
email
yeah.
Lyft.
That's exactly
from
what
a
I
desktop?
Did. I got my laptop out and they have like a lost and found form, and I'm just praying that eventually gets to the driver. I don't even know the driver's name. I have everything.
Because you can't look at your phone.
Exactly. There's so much on my phone. And I have like comedy videos on there and posters, and I was crying, and my dog lost respect in me. You know what I mean? Like, you ever messed up so bad your dog loses respect for you? That it hurts, man. It was a tough for the Emerson household last night.
But you got it back, right?
We did get it back.
Okay.
How
did it happen? So you emailed them and they were just like, here's the driver?
No, so I emailed them and then they emailed the driver specifically. The driver had realized another passenger had realized that the phone was in the back. And so thankfully, he told the driver, alerted it, hey, the cell phone's in here. You're probably going to get some calls. And then so then he emailed the people back, which I was associated with my email account, and was able to give him my girlfriend's number. And he called that and we're able to fix it out. But yeah. Oh,
hell yeah.
Huge shout out to my girlfriend. I love you so much. Thanks for letting me use your phone and your car. I'm going to get it back to you in about an hour. I'm sorry.
No, that's just that feeling, the moment when you realize your phone is gone. Oh, it's also weirdly freeing for a minute, too. You're like, no one can get a hold of me.
But I'm working on so many things
right now. No, totally. it's everything.
People, I need people to get a hold of me.
I feel you. Well, I'm glad you got it back, at least.
Me too. All right, my turn. So this week, we have to talk about it just because, you know, we've been talking about this story since he was running. Mayor Mike Johnston, he's trying to end homelessness in his first term. I got to keep saying that because that's the project. That's his goal. That's what he said he wanted to do. And this week, the latest is, and my fail, is that he ordered a sweep of that big encampment at 8th and Navajo in La Alma Lincoln Park. And the part of this that's really hard is that this is the first time in about 6 months since that very first few weeks when he got into office that he has not been able to offer housing to the folks that were living in the encampment. So they went somewhere else. Yeah, I mean, that's the question.
I saw a video on the House Keys Action Network's Instagram of a woman coming back to that, and she had been at work. She had been working, and she came back, and all her stuff was gone, and she didn't know what to do. And, like, again, you lost your phone, right? Imagine, like, you just lose everything all of a sudden. I think that is a good metaphor for folks, is how you feel when you lose your phone.
Right.
Imagine if you just lose everything. And someone can look at you and go, sorry, it's in a trash can. Mm-hmm. That bums me out.
The stated reason for why the city did it, Cole Chandler, who's running this program for the mayor, he says, this camp at 8th and Navajo is just too big. It apparently tripled in size since the beginning of the month. He says, we don't have enough available rooms in the all-in-mile-high system to resolve it indoors. And then also I think is interesting is there was a resident of the neighborhood, Brenda Bly, was talking to the mayor at a recent forum about this. And she was just talking about her experiences around this camp. She says, they're defecating the alleyways. This is horrendous. I can't even open my gate without feces. There are needles. There was a boy sitting in the alley, took his sock off, and he was getting ready to inject himself. That could have been my son. So I think that's what the mayor was hearing from the neighborhood and why he made this decision, I would guess.
I understand that pressure from the neighborhood to – and wanting to have a safe space in your neighborhood. I understand that. I'm not negating those feelings. I think the frustrating part for me is that Cole Chandler just saying, like, well, we don't have enough beds. Well, you made this promise.
You did.
So you can't, how can you do this? How can you enact something that you can't follow through on the promise you made with? And that's the end of it to me, is you promise something and you can't deliver. So.
Yep. Yeah, that stinks. You know what I mean?
Sucks.
Yeah.
It really sucks.
Well, we are going to keep following that story the whole year. He's hoping to get another 1,000 people into housing this year. They're aiming for 2,000 by the end of the year. We will be on that closely watching. Let's move on to wins. There's so many wins this week.
Things.
Much easier to do wins this week for me. Joshua, do you have a win?
I do have a win. DU wins its 10th championship at the Frozen Final Four.
Oh, finally.
They won more championships than anybody. I will say the big thing about this, good old Maddie Davis, third shutout of the season coming in the championship game against the best offense in the nation. He had 23 saves in the third period alone. Absolutely stood on his head. Congratulations, Pios.
Yeah, that's a great win.
I said finally because Paul's been just dying to talk about this.
Really?
Yeah, I've been talking about it all week. I couldn't actually watch the game because I don't have ESPN. I didn't want to pay for it for this.
So I was
just like following online as it was happening and rolling out. And then I was delighted to see the pictures of the couch burning at DU campus.
Hey.
Longtime listeners know I love a couch burning.
Who doesn't? The smell alone.
The smell, the excitement.
Paul, we were talking earlier this week about how you couldn't. It wasn't as easily accessible to watch it because you didn't have ESPN. And I was lamenting that we used to be such a podunk small town that Lakeside would broadcast their stock car races from this Lakeside Speedway on TV.
They should do that now.
I wish. But like, could we also just get all our teams on TV?
I should have paid for it. If I wanted to watch the game, I could have paid for it.
It's got Hulu.
But it was cool that they won.
What else is going on network television on the weekends? Who's watching it? Just put sports on. Come on.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, that's another story for another day.
Maybe more on me. But that, yeah, very cool. Very cool for Matt Davis. The Avs, their goaltending troubles. That's going to be the problem in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They're saying it's the complete opposite. You know what I mean? The Avs offense. And yeah, Jordy's not doing it. It's tough. Was it 7-0, 7-1?
Seven goals they lost.
That's tough, man. That hits you tough in your head.
But anyway, I mean, they may put it together. You never know. Goalie could get hot. Bree, your thoughts? Can Georgia pull it together?
I don't know. Are they a good-looking team? That's all I care about.
I don't think so. Let's move on.
Wait, you have a win and I have a win left? Yeah. Can I go next? Because mine's like still kind of a bummer.
I did forget where we were. Yeah, yeah.
And I want to end on a real high.
Okay.
Well, mine's that Jay Bianchi, the concert promoter venue owner here in Denver, was booked at the Downtown Detention Center this Tuesday on suspicion of 6 counts of sexual assault.
Jeez.
Again, this is a win only because women have been coming forward for years with allegations about this gentleman and issues with him. And unfortunately, the Denver Post story is like, it's not super graphic. I wouldn't recommend reading it if trigger warning for sure, but it just hits home why it's so important that folks have the right to speak out about things happening to them. And I don't know what retribution looks like. I don't know if the justice system is what I think is the adequate thing to do here, but at least there's some accountability happening, hopefully. And it just also goes back deep into this issue that a lot of folks have in any scene, but the music scene here in Denver. If you don't feel safe these are people you have to work with on a business level. If you're a musician and you want to book a show, you have to deal with someone like Jay. And when that power struggle is like that, and then things can get, you know, violent, or it makes everything harder, and it makes people quiet, and it makes people step away from music. And it just ultimately hurts the scene all around when folks are being, you know, maybe, I don't know. It feels like a win in that, like, maybe this won't be happening again from this person.
And it was a long time coming, too. It's been known.
We reported on it on this show a couple years ago, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we'll put that link in the show notes.
Yeah. So, and I also just, my heart goes out to these women, and I hope that they're able to be processing this in a way that helps them, makes them feel better a little bit in some capacity. So that's the win-ish of it all. Paul?
I have such a great one.
Oh, good.
I have such a great one. He may not be fun to smoke pot with, but our governor, Jared Polis, did something pretty cool this week.
What'd he do?
He signed a bill that I had not heard about. This was not getting a lot of coverage locally that I saw. I read this in the New York Times, that he signed a bill that passed by 61-1 in the House and 34-0 in the Senate. So totally bipartisan, almost unanimous support from Colorado's politicians. And what is this bill? It's a first-in-the-nation bill enhancing consumer protections when it comes to neural data.
Ooh.
Wait, what?
The brain?
Yeah. So have you heard of like Elon Musk's new project where he's trying to like put a computer chip in the brain? And, you know, I don't know what the promises are. The New York Times has a couple of examples. There's like a company that makes a headband that serves as a personal meditation coach by monitoring the user's brain activity. There's purports to help treat anxiety and symptoms of depression. Another reads and interprets brain signals while the user scrolls through dating apps, presumably to provide better matches.
So many people just need hugs. Like, this is just like, people need hugs and intimacy and love and connection and community more than they need a headband that tells them why they're depressed.
Yeah. They'll learn how to do small talk. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
But this
people are interested in these products. I mean, this is new technology. I think a lot of people are excited about it. And I found this fascinating that the governor and all of our politicians were all excited about getting on board to regulate this.
So this legislation would protect that data? Is that what's going on? Or attempt to? Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, any data protection is wonderful because we seem to not have much of it.
Right. Specifically what it says is, this is the New York Times again, the bill expands the definition of sensitive data in the state's current personal privacy law to include biological and neural data generated by the brain, the spinal cord, and the network of nerves that relays messages throughout the body.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like for the first time they're maybe getting ahead of the technological stuff legislatively, which
sounds like
historically
it,
we have not been very good at doing. So who's the one vote that voted no?
Who's this dork? I'm going to put that in the show notes too. I didn't look that up, but I will put that person in the show notes so we know.
I mean, Google is in Boulder. So, I mean, that's where I'd imagine.
Hey, three cheers for data privacy.
I think all these big companies are working on stuff like this.
That's
right
what I'm
now.
Saying. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Except
for sure.
Facebook, which knows everything about us, and the Fitbit I've been wearing for the last 12
years. That's true. So. I don't even use it in incognito mode anymore. You know what I mean? So.
Why?
Wait, yeah. So.
They know.
Exactly.
Incognito mode is a lie.
It was always a lie. We all know.
That logo right there
Everybody's porn habits are visible. Everyone knows.
You know?
Did we all go?
I think we did.
We did. You keep trying to throw it to me.
You're making it sound like we got high, Paul, and we did. This is not a blunt rotation.
I got confused. My mind's other places. Hey, it's the end of the show. What a fun one today. So good to do this with you two. Bree, Joshua, wow, we did it. Happy 420, everyone.
We did it.
Yeah, man. Nice.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. Our producers this week were Natalie Rivera, Olivia Jewel-Love, and me, Paul Caroli. Peyton Garcia writes our morning newsletter, Hey Denver. Bree Davies is our host. Our music is by Los Mocochetes, with additional mixing by Tyler Lindgren. If you haven't already, subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at CityCast Denver, and tell Gucci Mane about us next time you see him. You can sign up for that daily newsletter I mentioned and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. See you next week. You know how Mickey Mouse is public domain now?
Yeah.
Maybe I get a big Mickey Mouse head and I call myself Alive Mouse.
Alive Mouse 5.
I like how you turned on the recording for that. You're like, this is gold. This is gold. I want this.
I'm going to want to save this for posterity.
Get some jokes off.
I got something here.